Hello there, Nicola Barden here from Q102's Weekend Buzz. I hope you are all doing really well and thank you so much for pressing play today to listen to this episode. Before I let you listen to the whole thing, I just have a little bit of news for you. So if you're a fan of the Weekend Buzz or this is the first time you've ever listened to it, amazing and thank you, and scroll back. We've got over 70 episodes there, so there's some great chats for you to listen to from the likes of the cast of SVU, from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Grey's Anatomy, loads of stuff, some amazing singers, reality stars. Great in-depth conversations for you to enjoy. And I know that's what you're here for. So that's why I have to tell you my news. I have rebranded the show and it is now strictly podcast. So it's no longer on radio. It is just podcast and it goes under the name Tis Yourself. So do come and find us. We're on Instagram and Twitter and obviously all the places that you're listening to podcasts. So if you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts, Google, CastBox, Good Pods, Spotify, we are there. I am there with my over 50 guests, fantastic guests. You're going to love some of them. They're absolutely amazing. So we've got some of the cast from like Games of Thrones, Breaking Bad. Yes, Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones. Can you believe it? Some amazing singers like Shane Ward, Matt Cardle are there. We have the actor Jerry O'Connell, who has some surprising roots to Ireland, you won't believe. We have the likes of Tom Lenk from Buffy, who played Andrew. If you're Irish, you'll know the names James Patrice, Trisha's Transformation, Tommy Fleming, the Nolan family. There's loads and loads of stuff in there. We've Sarah Jane Dunn from Hollyoaks. We've got some cast of EastEnders. So there's a real mix of Irish, UK, US guests, and we're just adding to them every single day. We're getting some new guests. Season 4 is just about to be launched. So come and join me. I'm over here waiting for you to discover me. That's Tis Yourself with me, Nicola Barden. Hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The Weekend Buzz with Nicola Barden.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you all doing? This is Nicola Barden here on The Weekend Buzz. And do I have a fascinating chat coming up for you. There is a new podcast coming out. It is out. It came out on Wednesday. It's called Call of the Wild and it's by the WWF, which are the World Wildlife Federation. A cause that's very, very close to my heart. You may or may not know if you've listened to the show before that I have been to Africa, to Namibia, where I volunteered for a few weeks with an animal sanctuary, a wildlife sanctuary out there. I raised money for not only for the sanctuary, but also for WWF and the Born Free Foundation, who do everything they can to help get animals back in the wild, to take them out of disastrous situations with individuals, with companies, with zoos, etc. But they just do such brilliant work and definitely recommend anyone go and look at Born Free, look at WWF, and of course, look at Nankuse, where I went to see, went to work. But back to the podcast. So it's called Call of the Wild, and it talks all about how we're going to save the world. Okay, let's look at it in the positive light. How are we going to save the world? And all the steps that we can do to turn around the figures that are in the negative and make them positive. And we're already seeing so many changes that lockdown have brought on. You know, in terms of the environment, we're seeing elephant numbers are on the rise, tiger numbers are on the rise, rhinos that haven't been poached in months, which is an amazing thing. Seeing people buying up land so that can be given back to forestry and stuff like that. So that's all big things. And then there's the small things that many of you are doing and you probably don't even realize it. But every time that you don't eat meat at dinner, that's a huge thing. Every time you try a veggie meal, huge. Every time that you say, I'm going to have a can of Coke instead of a bottle of Coke, that's amazing, because aluminium is one of the most recyclable things on the planet. You can literally recycle a can of Coke 500 times. It doesn't matter. It can keep being recycled. Plastic, as we know, is the enemy. So if you're in the shop today and you're thinking, which am I going for? Go for the can. Treat yourself with the can. The new podcast is presented by Kel Spellman. He's an actor who you probably will know from Cold Feet. But he has now used his passion for conservation to chat to some of the world's experts and some famous faces about how we can turn this all around. And some of the figures that you'll hear in the podcast are amazing, not in a good way. In 2019, we lost a football pitch of rainforest every 6 seconds. 8 million tons of plastic enter the oceans every year. 20% of all industrial water pollution comes from fashion. That's scary, but you'd have to think that that is down, we'd hope, because of the fact that we weren't spending as much and we weren't buying as many clothes and we've nowhere to wear them. So unless it's gym clothes, you're probably no point. But on his first episode, Kel has an amazing guest who you might have heard of, a fella called David Attenborough. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to let Kel tell the story now. So let's see what he thinks.
Hello, how are you?
Good. How are you, Kel?
I'm very well, Nicola. How are you? You okay?
Yes, I'm good. I'm good. Thanks a million for talking to me today.
No, gosh, no, it's my pleasure. I've been buzzing really to be able to do some bits over in Ireland just because, you know, where my family's from. So I appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
So whereabouts are your family from over here then?
We're all from, well, it's my dad's side of the family are from County Mayo. We're from Ballyhornis, kind of by Taurine in Taurine. And yeah, that's kind of where my history lies as far as the Irish ancestry. And we used to go all the time as kids, to be honest. I mean, any school break or half term or holiday probably was spent over at my granddad's house in Ireland. And then unfortunately, just when I was around 15, 16, he had to let that go, unfortunately. So I've not a chance to be going back as much as I like, but you know, spent basically from when I was 16 coming over 4 or 5 times a year. So that's kind of where we're from, basically.
There's a huge Mayo Irish living in the UK. It's really strange. It's like one of those places that it doesn't seem like there's that many people in it. And then you go to England and they're like, oh yeah, we're from near Ballyhonis or from, you know, Westport. And you're like, this is so strange.
Yeah. there is a big community, particularly in Manchester as well, actually, funnily enough.
Yeah.
There seems to kind of be a big Mayo community. But it's always that thing. It's like even when I'm down in London, it's that thing of how the Northerners will always find each other and gravitate to each other. And I think the same can be said for the Irish as well.
That's probably true. We do have a particular look and we end up talking to each other, even though we're in, you know, you're on a foreign holiday and you're like, you're probably from Ireland. I'm going to probably talk to you.
Yeah. There's something in the ether tells us that that's the person I need to be spending my time with. And usually it's probably right.
Well, you're going to make a lot of people jealous with your new job. Obviously, you're an actor. You've been in the likes of Cold Feet and White Lines and stuff like that. But your job, your current job, episode one of your podcast, man, I'm so jealous. You had David Attenborough.
Oh, I know. It's funny, Nicola. I keep saying, I feel like we maybe might have peaked too soon. we kind of have gone in at the absolute top and the best we can do. So it feels like maybe it's only downhill from here, but we'll be working hard to try and keep it on that level. But it was, for me personally, it was one of the best experiences of my life and something I'll treasure professionally. You know, I think I feel very fortunate and grateful to have had the opportunity to just to sit down and speak to the main man himself. I think it's something, you know, I think actually for most people, I know that's something that we'd all love to do. So I definitely felt very grateful enough to be able to do that. And I'm just so thankful that he agreed to come on. It does feel like it was the perfect way to kick off this podcast series, really. Once it happened, it was like we couldn't have had it starting any other way. So no, it's not lost on me. Don't worry. I know I'm very, very lucky. Do you know what I mean?
I'm an animal advocate. I'm a wildlife advocate for, you know, years, and I've been to Africa volunteering and stuff like that. But what's your background in that? How did you and the WWF come together to get this podcast? What was it about you that kind of they said you're the one we want to host it?
Well, I think for me, not to cut a long story short, I've always felt I've had a connection and a real passion and enthusiasm for wildlife and for the natural world. You know, I had the adoption packs when I was younger. I think, you know, I'd adopted a dolphin for how many years. So that's kind of always been in me, I think. And then I think as I've got a little bit older, and of course your understanding of the world grows a little bit and you become a lot more aware of what's happening and you talk about global warming in school, I guess then that kind of started to, you know, galvanize me to think, wow, this doesn't sound too good and it feels like it's not getting any better, so I kind of want to do something about it, otherwise I feel quite helpless. And I was around and of course, as well, it goes without saying, I think David Attenborough's programs absolutely were also instrumental in kind of showing me the natural world and almost helping grow that love and adoration I have for it. And I was 15, I was around 15, 16, Nicola, and I was on Children's BBC at the time here in the UK on CBBC. And I guess out of that feeling of what not wanting to bury my head in the sand and wanting to try and help and make a difference, I guess, I thought, listen, I know I'm no name. No one probably really knows who I am, but I work with young people. I'm on CBBC, so I feel that's kind of an in. So I emailed WWF and just said, look, this is me. This is what I'm about. I've always loved and supported what you do. If there's ever anything going on in schools, maybe, or centered around young people, I'd love to, you know, lend my voice and whatever I can do to help you. And they very kindly and amazingly emailed back. And then that kind of was the start of this 10-year relationship we've been on. And then at the back end of, I want to say last year, but obviously last year was a myth. So the year before that, was very proud to say that I became a WWF ambassador. And then the conversation started from them that they'd thought about the podcast and kind of some radio and stuff. They kind of said, what do you think? And the podcast is something I've always wanted to do, and it just felt like the perfect matchup, really. So sorry, it was quite a long way of telling a short story, but that's kind of how it came about, basically.
Oh, no, it's brilliant to hear, because, you know, the fact that you actually have this background, you're interested in it. It's not like you're this person they just said, listen, he's a bit famous there, so let's just pick him. It, like, for people like me who are really mm-hmm. into this conservation, who are trying our best to do everything we can, to know that you have that background is really important.
Agreed. And I think, you know, because as well, you'll know this, Nicola, and you know, one, people aren't stupid, and young people definitely aren't stupid. And I think you can always tell when there's maybe a slight bit of detachment, you know, or maybe someone is just presenting something or saying something because they've been told to, you know, stand there, read that auto cue, and Bob's your uncle. And I think when you're talking about something like climate change and the environment and what needs to happen, it's very easy for people to switch off as it is. And if I think it's an easier thing for people to do, if they look at you and go, you're just another person paying lip service. So I think if it's embedded in that truth, like you say, it kind of carries more weight. And I think you're more likely to bring people on board and at least get them to entertain you and listen to you. And then what they do with that information is totally up to them. But I absolutely agree. I think it has to be embedded in some form of truth and sincerity. And flipping out, yeah, that top one for saying that as well, actually. Thank you.
Well, you know, it's true. It's why we love David Attenborough as well, because he is so passionate about it. We know he cares. He's not just saying it because he's getting paid. You know what I mean? Like, this is why people love him. And that's why it means a lot that somebody who's doing this podcast is also passionate about it. And then for the WWF to come up to you and say, listen, we have a man who will come on the first episode and it's Sir David. You must have just like fallen out of your chair.
I did. Do you know what, even it's funny now when with it kind of coming out this week, I genuinely, and I'm not just saying this, I still can't quite believe it. I still find it quite surreal to see the artwork with, you know, me and him. It does just blow my mind. You would put it this way. There was a lot of restless night sleeps and more or less no sleep the night before, and a lot of nervous energy throughout the day building up to it. But you know what? It was one of them where once you kind of start doing it and get into that space, you kind of just exist and are very present, and actually all that goes away. And it's also helped by the fact that genuinely, Nicola, he is everything you want him to be and more. He is the most amazing, impressive man, you know, given his age as well, but the way he came in and he put everybody at ease and, you know, was very calm and sat down and felt like he listened to you and was very in tune. You know, it was also down to him. I think he made it such an easy experience, and it was just a dream come true. And it's that they say, don't meet your heroes. But I've been saying this is one that you absolutely should meet. Absolutely. You know what I mean?
Oh, I'm so jealous. I love him. I'm reading his book.
I'm sorry.
Everything he does, I'm like, you're my hero. But no, it is amazing to hear him And the thing, I listened to the first episode, obviously, and when he was speaking, and I like that you brought this up on the episode, is the positive sides. And there is still time to, for people to change. And because it's very easy to see the headlines or hear the negative and think, well, what's the point? I'm a small person. I'm not a global business or anything. What can I do? But a small change starts a big change.
Absolutely. It's so true. The two things of that, the first thing being, and I will not say this as poetically as I would like, but I remember hearing this, I think it was at some form of talk, or maybe I listened to it on somewhere, but someone talks about the, you know, the penny slot machines you get in arcades, you know, the ones where you put it in and it drops down. It's a bit like Tipping Point. And then you're trying to push the coins off the edge, aren't you? And then you try and get more than what you've put in. Well, someone described it as the kind of individual as action as that, and go, yeah, on its own, of course, it might not be the one that pushes the coins over the edge, but you actually might be that one coin that suddenly amasses all those individual actions, which pushes all the pennies over the edge, and then you kind of get your winnings. And I think that's a great way to look at individual action. And in the same breath, I totally agree. I think it is a very, it's a negative subject. Let's not shy away from it. And we are at a crisis point. We're at a very critical point where something has to give. But if we keep on that negative doom and gloom narrative, even I myself, you'd switch off. You go, I don't want to know. It's too much. I want to bury my head in the sand. And I think that is a feeling that a lot of people will probably empathize with and have felt at some point. And I think it's so important that you have, that we do keep in this, the positive stories that are happening around the world, because there is a lot of good still being done, and there is a lot of change happening. And actually, and the more I've kind of done this podcast, the more I have really learned that actually the systems are out there for us to implement, the science is available to us to implement, and the tools we need to turn things around absolutely are there at our disposal. It's just down to us and big businesses and, you know, politicians and governments to actually pick up those tools and start instigating that change. So it's, and it requires both. We absolutely need the big business and the big change, but we also, I feel, all have a responsibility in a way, and a duty to do what we can in our own lives. And I promise you, those small individual actions, you add them all up and suddenly, like you say, you've got mass change on your hands.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Well, you can even see that from the likes of the rise of veganism. And not everybody's going vegan or anything like that, but there's more plant-based stuff on the market replacing some of the meat stuff that are out there. And you don't have to be vegan. You can still eat meat. But if you take that one day off, like a meat-free Monday, as they say, the more stuff that has been put out on shelves is actually helping the environment. And that's because individuals are going to stores, and the stores are then realizing that the demand is there, and they're saying, right, let's get more of this healthier plant-based stuff in. because that's what the individuals want.
Exactly. And that's you've hit the nail on the head. You know, I think at times the world and the society in which we live in, particularly in the Western world, you know, it does a lot to try and make us forget that we still have power and have control over our actions, and in turn then can affect those big businesses and supermarkets and places where we buy and spend our money. And money's such a powerful thing. And those individual choices and actions, put them all together, will get heard by the powers that be. And I think even if you look at another example I like to use is the school strikes, which all started with Greta Thunberg, of course, but then actually galvanized young people from all over the world to step up and take note. And actually that's been a major driving force and push in the conversation, and the kind of that has made the alarm bells ring even louder than they were doing before. There's another thing I always say, Nicola, it's that, you know, if you look through history, you know, and all the big movements and big change that has come, whether that be from, you know, Gandhi to Martin Luther King to, I mean, from where I am in Manchester, you know, Emily Pankhurst with the suffragette movement, it all started with one individual, and look what happened. So history, and it is there written, you know, in black and white, has told us that through individual action and through one person stepping up and speaking up, actually there can be this wave of change and energy and movement that then galvanizes more and more people and ends up bringing about the thing that you wanted to do in the first place. So it's easy for us to get, and I feel at times, then we all do that, we all feel a bit downtrodden, you know, and a bit think, well, what can little old me do? But it really, really isn't the case. And I always like to look back at history and at those stories to kind of remind me and go, listen, it absolutely is possible. And I really firmly believe we can absolutely do this 100%.
I do too. And I see every day that you get a little bit of the nugget of good news. You know, you see that there's been no rhinos poached or something in a year, or you see that because the lockdown, yeah, you know, skies are clearer, or birds are, you know, reproducing, whatever it is. So there is good news out there. You have to look for it, but you also have to make it yourself. And I'm guessing that's probably like one of the goals of the podcast, is to spread the news of what you can do. But is that what you guys are hoping to do with the rest of the series?
Yeah, I definitely. It was a big part of it for me, because as you've said before, and you hit the nail on the head, Nicola, it's a very negative space to exist in, to a degree. And one of the big things I said, look, I think those who are involved in this conversation are aware of that, but they still need the positive stories. But if we're trying to make this podcast for everyone, it has to have that positive element to it. It has to feel hopeful, and it has to hopefully maybe inspire the people listening. And that really is kind of definitely something that I was very keen to put across and make sure that it exists, not just in this first episode, but throughout the series. When we focus on each topic, let's not shy away from the facts. We have to be honest, and we want to put it across in a clear and insightful way. But in the same breath as well, let's not forget that there is a lot of good out there being done, and also that solutions are out there. And let's remind people of that, because there's no, if we've got this big fight on our hands, and if you think there's no way we can win the fight, then what's the point of fighting? You need to show people we can win the fight. And I think that's how you get them on board.
Oh, yeah. And I think as well, you tell people we can't win, and then people are like, what do you mean we can't win? Well, I'm going to win then, because yes, there's that push of wanting to fight against people who think you can't do something.
It is. And that's the beautiful thing with this. You know, I think there's an angle in which you can look at it, and whichever angle you find fits you, there's one out there for everyone. And I think people have just got to find that. And whether that is through the podcast, hopefully, or maybe it's through one of David Attenborough's documentaries, or maybe it's through you going out and reconnecting with nature and finding a love for the natural world that maybe you'd kind of just pushed down a little bit and didn't realize was there. I think whatever way, shape or form it comes in, and whatever angle you take and road you go down, there is no wrong road, just as long as I feel like we're all pulling in the same direction.
Well, it's been a great first episode. Obviously, that's out now, and anybody can go and listen to that straight after this. But obviously, there's more to come. Is it going to be guests every episode, or is it just going to be you giving facts? Tell us a little bit more about what's kind of coming up.
Yeah, Joe, I think my voice would get very boring for people if it was just me telling them the facts. But what we've got basically, I'm trying to remember how many, I can't remember how many actual episodes we've agreed on, but throughout the series, each episode will be focused on a different topic of conversation that's within the climate space. So we've got an episode on oceans and plastic. We'll be looking at deforestation and food. There'll be an episode on rewilding and nature. And then within those episodes, as I said before, we're going to try and, you know, as best we can, succinctly, and not overcomplicate where things are at and what is happening, and speak to those experts that can tell us and hopefully educate us a bit more on the subject. But then also we're going to hear from the people that are experiencing the impacts of these things, you know, firsthand, and also having a different guest on each episode who's maybe on their, you know, who's on their own journey and finding out what they're doing, and big or small, you know, how are they navigating their way through this time and with their actions as well. So we've had, I think I can say this, if not, it doesn't matter. We've got Georgia May Jagger is joining us for an episode. We've got a couple of the cast from Sex Education. They're going to be coming on a different episode. And there's a couple of other guests as well that have I've kind of more or less just been finalized. So it should be really interesting. Hopefully, you know, it's kind of something in there for everyone. So that's the plan and for the series.
Wow, it sounds brilliant. And it's like, obviously, it's something I'm very passionate about myself, but it's good to, I'm still learning, like some of the facts you said in the first episode and even in the teasers, I was like, I didn't know that that's how much, you know, is needed to make a cotton t-shirt, or, you know, how much plastic goes into the ocean. And when, if I'm still learning that, you know, people are hearing this for the first time, it's definitely going to make you kind of go, really? Like, for what? So anything that's education, yeah, like that, I can only have some good effects.
I really hope so. And off that, you know, I was actually saying this to a friend the other day. We've never had, I think, a fair and honest representation of what is happening to the climate and the environment. I think whether that's been through ignorance, whether that's been maybe we don't want to face the whole truth. But I've always said, you know, actually, if we presented the climate change case as it is, I think a lot more people will have been on board with this conversation a lot sooner, because as you say, there won't, I don't think there's many people who could hear those facts or the statistics, or, you know, watch something of a, I don't know, a poor bird with a six pack of plastic, you know, that you have from a beer, you know, wrapped around its neck, that it doesn't, can't help but make you feel something and alarm you. And like you say, the, for instance, that this, when I tell my friends, you know, we've lost 60% of wildlife since the 1940s, that's over half. It is frightening, that statistic. And you go, well, how have we allowed this to happen? It's go, well, really, no one's talked about it. Or when we have, we've maybe not presented the full story. So I think this is a great way in which, like you say, you can actually present really what is happening in an honest way. And I think people are always going to be moved by that. And I think that's part of, David Attenborough talks about that, going, it's all well and good telling people what they can do and can't do, but I know what I'm like as well. Don't tell me what to do. I'm very much of that mindset. But if you let people get their own way, you know, and organically find out what it is that makes them tick and what they care about and what they'd like to do, that's so much more powerful. And I think that comes through feeling and emotive storytelling, that you can kind of really get people in the gut and the heart. And that is the strongest thing, because then people will take that and carry on their own path without you having to do anything. Do you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Oh, definitely. It's when you hear something and you kind of, and it sticks in your brain and then you can't stop hearing it. And then suddenly, like I know myself, when I was in Africa, they told me about how much it takes to run the shower. And before that, I could have been taking a shower for 10, 15 minutes. And now I'm like, in and out in three, you know, you have to be very careful of conservation of water. And suddenly, like, I could go and like take a 20 minute shower now. It's now ingrained into me. And that is how it happens. You hear something and it just sticks with you. And even if it's one thing, it doesn't matter, because it's that one thing that has helped somebody, and then that you tell somebody, and then it goes on and it helps. So this is a great way of getting across without you, as you said, saying, don't eat meat, don't do this, da da da. People just lash.
Yeah, not preachy.
Yeah,
completely. No, and you know, the best example of that, Nicola, is what Blue Planet 2 did and the fight on plastics. If everyone thinks back and remembers, up until that point, the way we were going about with single use plastic, as we do with most things, we were doing it without a care in the world. But it took that program and to bring the impacts of what we were having for people to actually see it, because we're fortunate, we're in a privileged position that we don't see the consequences of a lot of our actions, but people saw the state of the planet and what plastic was doing to it and what it was doing to our oceans and what it was doing to the wildlife. And almost overnight, that one episode changed everybody's thinking, and all of a sudden you're seeing a tax charge on plastic bags. And now, you know, I think most people, they were all on board saying single-use plastics is one of the worst things that is absolutely polluting our planet. But it came from that program. And within that, people felt something. They felt angry, maybe felt a little bit of shame, you know, felt heartbreak for to see these animals and to see these fish. And, you know, the poor whale that lost its calf, you know, because it had plastic in its system. You know, it's heartbreaking, but that's the type of emotive storytelling, as hard as it is to see and to digest, actually that galvanized a massive worldwide movement, you know, that single-handedly massively pushed the single plastics debate. And I think you can, again, you take hope from that and go, look, it is possible. Absolutely. So it was just a great example. Where in Africa were you, Nicola? Because that is such a special place for me.
I was in Uganda the first time, and the second time I was in Namibia. I was there for 2 weeks in a wildlife sanctuary in Namibia called Nankuse.
Wow.
It's amazing. I would tell everybody about it. I'd never heard of it before I went, and I literally tell anyone to go there because, like, you live off grid and, you know, they have the most amazing food and people, and you help rhinos and you help giraffes and cheetahs and incredible.
Oh, I think you've just brought me on board, to be honest with you. Yeah, I was lucky enough to I went around Kenya I went traveling around Kenya. I think it was actually just after the series of Cold Feet and similar thing. I think this Africa as a whole is just a very special place. But there as well, Nicola, you know, these, unfortunately as well, it's a fact that the third world and developing countries are actually the ones that are feeling the impacts more than any of us, in particular the indigenous communities around the world. But they are the ones, and I'm sure you found this like in that sanctuary, that are actually living the most peacefully and harmoniously with the natural world and actually show it can be done because they're doing it. Do you know what I mean? It was that was one of the biggest things I took from when I was there as well, was going, wow, these people really are living very intrinsically and harmoniously with the world around them. You know, it's and that's what we need to be striving for.
Yeah, we need to, like, they were the loveliest people you'd ever meet. But also, as you said, they knew, they would point on the ground and be like, to me, that's the lion track. And I'd be like, running. And they'd be like, no, this is what you do if a lion comes near you. And I'm like, if a lion comes near me, I'm dead. But they would be so calm, what to do. And they just kept on going. It was amazing. So yeah, we have, not only are we helping the animals of the planet, but it's also the people like that who aren't living in big cities and, you know, have a MacBook and have, you know, an iPhone and all this kind of stuff. They just live off the land.
Completely. And I think people worry sometimes, you know, and going, you know, is that what you're asking everyone to do? And it's going, no, we're obviously not. Do you know what I mean? But there are going to have to be compromises, don't get me wrong. But, you know, if we can maybe take, same with like the individual action thing, if you take a little bit of that and, you know, go, all right, I've learned that from you, actually, maybe I can implement that in my own life. That's what we've got to be striving for. And suddenly, if you're doing all those little things, before you know it, your whole routine and way of living and your kind of understanding of the world and the world around you has changed drastically without you really having to do too much or forcing it, you know. And that's they're a shining example of that.
Well, your podcast is going, the episode one is brilliant, but I was always going to fangirl with David anyway. I'm looking forward to the rest of them. Tell us.
Of course. believe it's being done monthly, but then in the interim, we have bonus content. So there's going to be a bonus episode dropping with Sir David. So it's got all the bits from my interview that we didn't get to put in that episode. And then once that bonus content's dropped, then the following, that's when we'll start then the next episode. So we're kind of, you know, breaking it up with a bonus episode that will go out, and then we'll bring you the next episode. And I think if you just search Call of the Wild, and it's on wherever anyone's listening to the podcast, so on any platform, I think if you can find it on there, and if you do subscribe, I believe it helps the podcast and it really helps us, so it would be much appreciated.
And I will let you know then when the new episodes are there. Well, I have subscribed on Spotify, so I will look forward to the bonus episode and then to hear the rest with all your guests. And it's been so lovely to talk to you and to have someone else who totally is on my wavelength in terms of, we can do something about this planet and we can help it.
Oh, absolute pleasure's been all mine, Nicola. These are some of my favourite conversations, you know. And I actually feel where, you probably know this as well, feeling where we're coming from a similar position. 5 years ago, we were always the ones, I think, where you'd mentioned climate or the environment and people would roll their eyes and switch off. But, you know, I take a lot of hope in that the shift in consciousness now has changed drastically. I think everyone is very much aware of what we're doing to the planet. I know that something needs to change. And I think, you know, suddenly I think everyone's on board with it. So it's great for us, Nicola. But this was a wonderful chat, and I appreciate you having me on and your time as well.
Oh, and you too. And I know, like, you're a busy man, so I really appreciate it. And look, hopefully I will be over in Manchester again sometime soon if this COVID ever leaves us.
Yeah, listen, this too shall pass. we're on the home straight, and I would absolutely love that. And similarly, I'm going to be coming back to Ireland as soon as I can. I need to road trip, and I just need to go plant myself where I feel most at home. So I'll be sure to maybe drop you a shout when I'm coming over on the ferry.
You do. I'll shout the Guinness round.
Sounds like a plan. Lovely.
All right. Look after yourself, and we'll chat to you soon.
Look forward to it. Thank you again, Nicola, and have a lovely weekend.
You too. Thanks a million. I really appreciate it. Bye.
Cheers. See you. Bye.
What an amazing chat there with Kel Spellman, actor and conservationist and now podcast host. And wow, like, I've come away from that feeling positive. I feel like we can make more changes, and that's the way to think about it. Just look at your own life personally and think, what small thing can I do? Or write a letter to a company that annoys you that they've done something. Like, if you don't believe me, there's kids out there that have written to the likes of Burger King and to stop plastic, and it's worked. Like, this is amazing. So maybe give your kids a task. They could write to a company that use plastic in all the time. Get them to write a few letters. Get their class to write a few letters. You know, this is the way it does. Drive that individual act to make it more. And, you know, you will have such a buzz if something comes about it. It can be, look, it's just something to do in lockdown, because Micheál says we're here till 2099. So living in these four walls. Amazing chat. So go and find Call of the Wild. That's on all the usual spots, Spotify, Apple, Acast, all that. So it'll be, follow it so that you can get an announcement every single time that they have a new episode. If you are just listening to this podcast here for the very first time, do scroll back and see, is there anything that I've talked about before that you might be interested in? If you are interested in conservation like this, there's a chat with Ivana Lynch, who was on Harry Potter, all about being vegan, all about wildlife and how we can help more. So do scroll back for that. If you're a fan of acting, there are some interviews with some of the stars from Hollyoaks, from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, from Law & Order SVU, from Grey's Anatomy, and so much more. So just take a little scroll and see, is there anyone there that might tickle your fancy? Until next time, Nicola Barden here with you. Weekend Buzz. Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. It really means a lot to me, and I really hope you enjoyed it. Do scroll back and see if there's anything else that you might enjoy. And before I let you go, do remember to come and find me on my new podcast, Tis Yourself. Again, talking to celebrities, this time a lot more in depth. So there might be longer episodes there. And we're talking about what was life like before they became famous, the different alternative roads they could have went down, how life changed for them, for good and bad, and so, so, so much more. And of course, the thing that they're best known for. So come and find me, Tis Yourself with Nicola Barden. And I really hope you'll enjoy the new episodes. They're up to date. They're brilliant. There's some great people there. And I'd love your support. So please do come find us. That's Tis Yourself with Nicola Barden.